We are in the midst of a cathedral mission month. The focus for this month is all on mission. And the title for my sharing this afternoon is God in the Everyday. Often when we think about mission, it's about taking a plane, going to another country, and so on. But I just want to challenge all of us that mission is more than that. It's really at our backyard, at our home turf as well. Wherever God has placed us, that is our mission field. And the title is inspired from Stirling Campus. Remember Stirling Campus? Gillian Lee came and spoke about Stirling Campus a while back. And that's one of the titles for their course about finding God in the different industries, in the marketplace, wherever people are, in education, in business, and so on. And I just want to share with you, what does it mean to have God in the everyday? Often we limit God on a Sunday. When we go back to work or to school on Monday, we put God aside and that's it. Let me be secular. The sacred will be on Sunday or on Saturday. Monday to Friday is secular. Okay, but I think we need to remember that there is actually no sacred and secular divide. Everything belongs to God. God is in the everyday. God is in our lives. God is in every aspect of where we are. God can be in the darkest, in Geylang, where the brothels are. God can be in the migrant workers' dormitories in Lim Chu Kang and so on. So God is everywhere. And we need to see that. We need to ask God to open our eyes where the mission field is. You know, why does the church exist? Have you ever wondered that? Why does the church exist? Is it for us to have like a holy experience? It's just like a country club. Some people say St. Andrew's Cathedral is like a country club. In order to be a member, then you enjoy the free parking and so on, the facilities and so on. But you know, more than 150 years ago, we didn't have this beautiful facilities. We don't have this beautiful church building. Missionaries came from Church Mission Society from England. They journeyed for weeks, traveled to come and share the gospel with the locals. It started as an English church, but eventually it grew. And if you see the turnaround, it's a very Asian, very local church. I come from Indonesia, and there's an Anglican church in Indonesia, but it's a very small church. The Anglican church started in Singapore and Indonesia at about the same time, where Sir Stamford Raffles came and established a trading port in Jakarta and in Singapore. But if you go to Jakarta, you go to Indonesia, the Anglican church remained very small, while this Anglican church in Singapore is thriving. What's the difference? If you visit Anglican Church in Indonesia, it remains a very British expatriate church. Very few Asian, but now they're growing, so let's pray for them. But the Singapore church, more than 150 years ago, they had this burning desire, this heart for people. So they built schools, hospitals, reach out to the locals, to the Chinese, to the Malays, to the Tamils, and that's why the Anglican Church in Singapore grew and grew and started with mission. So the purpose, the existence for our church is for mission, to bring people to God. And we are very thankful for our pioneers, the missionaries back then from England who came to have who had a passion for people and for Christ. Oops. Yep. Okay. So what is the gospel? Let me propose three things. Some of you who have heard this at the Vision Sunday, I think you will get, you're so used to it. The three B's, I've mentioned this several times. Believe, belong, and behave. The three B's. And it all starts with belonging. When people have a sense of belonging, that this is a church where they can be themselves, they can be real with themselves and with God, they will start to believe. They want to know, who is this God who accepts them, even though I'm a sinner, who forgives me, who loves me, who accepts me. And when they start to believe, they will start to be transformed. They will change their behavior. So the gospel has three aspects: belong, belief, and behave. So starting with belong, it is a gospel for the poor and needy. I'd like to share with you from Matthew chapter 25, this passage about the final judgment when God gathers his people, the sheep and the goat. Let me read for you this passage from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, we're talking about Jesus here, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him, he will gather all the nations, including Singapore, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right. You guys read my sheep, okay? But the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." This is the gospel for the poor and needy. Why do the church exist? To reach out to the poor and needy. And if you continue to read on, the sheep were the righteous one. The goats, they failed to exemplify this gospel. They failed to reach out to the poor and needy. And they were, and the passage says, they were judged. They were condemned. A very scary warning for all of us. Why the church exists? It's really for the poor and needy. So it's a gospel where people can feel a sense of belonging, where there's a sense of love and compassion for the poor and needy. The second is the gospel for all, for every one of us. This is a very mandate from Jesus. He says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." A double affirmative: all the world and whole creation, to everyone. This gospel is a gospel to evangelize everyone, every ethnic group, every person, every age group, every gender, every different from if they come from different education, intellect, economic background. It's for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. You know, I'm thankful that we are all safe. God never say, "Oh, you need to be of a certain gender to be safe." There are some Eastern philosophies or Eastern religions that says that in order for you to be safe, you need to be male. Female, you have to earn some good merits. Then on your next life, maybe based on the merits of the universe, you will become a female. And there are other religions that says you need to be of a certain intellect, because wisdom, God's wisdom is hidden. You need to be of a certain IQ and cognitive capacity to understand salvation. But our Jesus, our God, is so different. He welcomes everyone, if you from every race, every gender, and so on. This is a gospel for all. Third one is a gospel for transformation. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And you know now, when Jesus said this, this was more than 2,000 years ago. And now we are at 2017. Really, it's a fulfillment of God's mandate. That we are, as I stand here on stage, I am also teaching you to remember what God has commanded us. And the gospel of transformation is discipleship, it's transformation. And it's about what does it mean to be baptized, baptizing them in the name. This is a picture of me when I was baptized. I was 21 when I was baptized at the cathedral here. Yes, I was. I was the one in white. The one in red is Kenneth and Deborah's father. Where's Deborah and Kenneth? Oh, that's, yeah. Oh, okay, they're hiding their faces. That's me in white. I was younger and thinner then. And, yeah, so that's me. I was baptized. I believed, and I want to follow God. So I was baptized. And in cathedral, we baptized by full immersion through water. So we will be dunk, dip. The word baptism means bapto, dip. Yeah. So you are dip inside the water for about a few minutes. No, just a few minutes. Less than 2 seconds, you'll be out. Okay, and you'll be out, and then the congregation will welcome you. They will welcome, you know, fight valiantly against the work of the devil and so on. That kind of proclamation. You know, when we think about baptism, we always think about water. After you get dipped inside the water, you come out. Inside, maybe you are changed. You know, God, the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are transformed. But you think about physical dipping. I can dip all of you here, especially those who have not been baptized. I can put you, we can go to the beach and make you wet, and you come out. Are you changed? You're just wet. You know, within an hour, you'll be dry. So is there a spiritual change? So my suggestion for you is maybe let's not be dipping, but let's be pickling. Who likes kimchi here? Oh, man. Kimchi or pickles. Can you unpickle something? Can you make a kimchi become unkimchi? I don't know what's a... You can't. Like a cucumber, you pickle a cucumber, you can't take out the pickle from the cucumber, from the pickle cucumber. Basically, does that make sense? So there is a change, a transformation. When we baptize someone, there must be a change of the heart, of the being. It's not only a physical dipping, but really a thorough pickling. And God is pickling all of us right now. So when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, go and therefore make disciples of all nations, including Singapore, the nations. And that doesn't even talk about countries. It could be people groups to the deep. Tibetans, to the Myanmar, to the Rohingyan, all this, baptizing them, pickling them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, it's also about the different aspects of societies as well. So I want to propose 7 things. This is what I learned from my course during YWAM. I was at YWAM DTS, and we learned about this. How God pickle every aspect of society. So what are 7 spheres of influence? Number 1, we have family, education, communication and media, arts, entertainment and sports, business and commerce, government, healthcare, science and technology. So this, as we remember Mission Month, mission is not only about countries or nations. It's also about industries, different aspects of societies. And most of you are placed in all these different spheres. If we think about family, God, that's the fundamental unit for Christian growth. God has placed us in our families. There's no choice. Can I choose to be of another family? I can't. God has placed us. And if you are a Christian in your family, and your families are not Christians yet, God is calling you to make an impact, to be a pickle, to be a vinegar or a salt in that family that God has placed you. And when we think about families, we think about God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who cares for us. So we need to exhibit that godly values in our families, in how we relate to our parents, to our siblings, to our children, to even our domestic helpers. How do we relate to one another in God's way? And the Holy Trinity illustrates that very well, that union, that harmony, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you are placed in your families, can you be that agent of transformation where people can just know, experience God through your lifestyle, through your love for your family members? Number two, the second sphere is education. Do these school crests look familiar? That's Harvard, that's Yale, and that's Oxford. Anyone from these schools? Okay. I have an Oxford dictionary, that's all about it. And okay, so all these schools, the origins of this tertiary institution started because to train ministers. They were initially seminaries to train the things of God, to train theology. But of course, now they're more secular. But the origin of this institution, this great education institution, started, they wanted to promote God's word. And even for this, St. Margaret, anyone from St. Margaret's? Oh. What? St. Margaret. Okay, that's our Anglican school for our overseas visitors. Very proud of our Anglican schools. St. Margaret, started by English missionary as well, more than a century ago. And they were called to reach out to poor children, poor girls, because many of these girls were sold as slaves and workers and so on. And so there's a passion. They wanted to promote God's value, to reach out to all these girls. And we have St. Andrews. Anyone from St. Andrews? Okay, no, that's very enthusiastic. St. Andrews, another Anglican school in Singapore. You know where it started? Many people think it's Potong Pasir, but it's not. It's in Chinatown. And started by two Anglicans. They were inspired by a sermon at St. Andrew's Cathedral. Back then, it wasn't a cathedral yet. We were still a church. We were not a diocese yet. So they were inspired by a sermon about reaching out to the locals, helping them, helping the poor and needy. So they started a school in Chinatown to reach out to poor Chinese boys. And it became a thriving school. And even, how about this? Anyone from RI? Okay, Raffles Institution, one of the oldest school in Singapore. It also started, we think it's a very secular school, but it was started with Christian values as well. And one of the school songs says, "Home of a better age with God to guide the way." So there's a lot of Christian influence in all these schools. Yeah, and even Oxford, I forgot to mention, the Oxford's motto is, "The Lord is my light." So all this great education institution started with Christian values. And even our Sunday schools, some of you grew up in Sunday school. Sunday school, we always think Sunday school as a place for Christian children. But the founder of Sunday school is Robert Reichs. He was an Englishman. And he saw there was a need. There were many poor children in Britain. So he started the school on a Sunday, where he taught them reading, using the Bible to read. And that became the foundation of our Sunday school. And later on, it became the foundation for the British public education system. So education. God is using these people, our pioneers, to make an impact in that particular sphere of society. How about us right now? Some of us are teachers, educators, and even students. Can you pickle where God has placed you, in the schools, in the institution that God has placed you? Number three is communication and media. You know, God communicates to man through a variety of ways, through prophets. And back then it was through the prophets. But God is still speaking to us. God can use each one of you to communicate, to bring, to uphold His value, to proclaim His message. And even help those who are voiceless. This is a picture of a system for children with autism. It's called PACS. It's a picture exchange system. A picture exchange communication, PEC, PAC. Children with autism, some of them are non-verbal. They are not able to communicate verbally. So they will use these pictures. And someone came up with this system. It's amazing. And later on, it became electronic, so you can use it on an iPad. Parents are now able to communicate with their children. Once you think their children couldn't communicate, but because of this system, there's a major breakthrough in communication and relationship. And God is also using this. Have you heard of Sat7? It's a satellite TV, started to reach out to people in the Middle East and North Africa. And they televise Christian programs. And many of these countries in the Middle East and in North Africa, they are close to the gospel. But people have television, and they love television. And so they use Sat7, communicates through the satellite. So that's another wonderful way of how God uses communication. And of course, our cathedral app. Have anyone downloaded it yet? Who has downloaded our St. Andrew's? Don't be shy. Feel free to search it. So you can search for St. Andrew's Cathedral SG on Google Play or on the App Store. We have our own app, and there's even a lectionary, a reading program, and so on. And if you like my sermon so much, you can listen to it at bedtime. Okay. So communication was wonderful tools. So God is using all these wonderful things. Survey, who is in communication and media? Anyone? Studying in communication? Yeah, okay. All right. Just a handful there. God is using you guys. You are in a way, the modern prophets of our time. Yep. Next, arts, entertainment, and sport. Arts. God is the greatest artist. You agree with me? If I show you this picture, it's just a picture of a beautiful sunset. But if you go to you see the real thing, it's just amazing, just awe-inspiring. He is the greatest artist. How can we not be inspired by what he does, the creation? And often we see that during the Renaissance, the Christian artists, they were painting beautiful things, churches, chapels, and so on. But how about now? We see that we don't see so much of it, but God, I think, is raising up a network of Christian artists to express God's values through art, through music, through dance. And you know, our own Stephen, can you wave? He's in charge of our creative arts ministry, and he's trying to develop this ministry, recruiting people. If you are a dancer, artist, a poet, photographer, look for him. How we can use God, the gifts that God has given us to be for mission, to express God's love and so on. And even sports. As you can tell, I love sports. If it's sports and eating or... Okay, anyway. Sports. One of this. Do you guys own an Under Armour sports shoe? Does this look very familiar? This is a sports shoe by Stephen Curry. Do you know who Stephen Curry? NBA. He's a Golden State's Warrior. He is a great basketball player, and he loves God very much. He had a relationship with Nike, but he wanted to make shoes that has a Bible verse on it. And Nike said, no, we can't do that. Yeah. But so in the end, Under Armour took this opportunity, and they managed to produce a shoe with a Bible verse. You can't see it very well. It's from Philippians chapter 4. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Something very interesting, isn't it? The arts, the entertainment, How about you? For any sportsmen, professional sportsmen? Or some of you, like me, I do it occasionally. Maybe for leisure, for health, and so on. Maybe you can exhibit some godly values in the sports that you play, in the interaction that you do. And of course, in terms of entertainment, you know Bear Grylls? Bear Grylls is a reality TV star. He goes to different parts of the world and he tries to survive against nature and so on. And God even used him, not only in entertainment, to use his story. Eventually he became a Christian and God uses him to share about his life in Alpha. And are you familiar with this band, The Fray? Yeah. So even God can use secular bands in that sense. And most of the songs that they sing have spiritual meaning to it. Let me share with you this video. It's just a short video. It's by The Fray. It's called Be Still.
Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know. When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, be still and know that I am with you and I will say your name. If terror falls upon your bed, sleep no longer come, remember all the words I said. Be still and know. And when you go through the valley and shadow comes down from hill, if morning never comes to be, be still, be still.
Okay, we can lower that volume.
If you,
such a beautiful song, isn't it?
The way to go,
it was composed for the main singer composed it for his brother, who has some illness. But when you hear this, when you read the lyrics, you thought it was by a Christian band, or isn't it? But it's a secular pop band. And he uses Bible verses, and there's that psalm passage, "Be still and know that I'm God." And you can see that lyric about being in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. So it's a very, very moving song that is sung not only in church, by millions of young people. So, and these days, all the musicians, they are like the modern theologians of our time. We are all, for young people, we are shaped by music, by the lyrics. And that's how important arts, entertainment can be used for God's glory. The next one is business and commerce. This is a picture of Philip Ng, the richest man in Singapore. He owns Far East Holdings. He's a Christian. Oops. He came to know the Lord through Alpha. Yeah, and he's a billionaire. And there was an interview of him recently, a few years ago, about his business success. And he said that, let me read it for you. "The ironic thing about possession is that you don't possess the possessions. The possessions possess you. So he's talking about materialism. Why do people pursue wealth and money? He's sharing that all this, we're just stewards of the material things that we have. And he shared that, and he quoted this quotation from Martin Luther King. He says, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. So if you are running a business, can you see yourself as creating wealth for society, not only for your shareholders or for your bottom line, but really for the betterment of society? There are some Christian businesses like Tyson. Anyone eaten Tyson food? They make frozen food. It's also even part of their mission statement. Let me read to you their mission statement. It's on their website. It says, we strive to honor God and be respectful of each other, our customers, and other stakeholders. And next one, Forever 21. You know this is a Christian owned? Yeah, so Forever 21. If you look at the bottom of the shopping bag, have anyone looked at the bottom of the shopping bag? Anyone? You see some wordings? It says John 3:16. Yeah, you later go to Forever 21 and shop a bit, yeah. So, they just want to promote Christian values as well. Speaking of, I forgot to mention about Philip Ng. We have a church member who works for Far East Holding. And he shared with me that it's a very good organization to work with. They exhibit godly values. Even though some of his managers and colleagues are not Christians, but it's passed down from the top. That kind of respect and honoring one another. And how they do their business deals and so on. And Toms, anyone wearing Toms now? It started because of this man, what's his name? Blake Mykowski. He went to Argentina and he saw this charity that helped poor people without shoes. So he thought of a brilliant business idea. And every time you buy a pair of Toms, the company will give a pair of shoes to the poor. So all these things, even if you're running a business, you can pickle, you can transform society, you can do mission. And in our government, this is our current parliament speaker, but he used to be the Minister of Social and Family Development, yes. He was a Christian. I mean, he is a Christian. Government did not make him a non-Christian, but he's a Christian, and he's really passionate about God, yeah. And God uses him to lead a ministry. And for the past few years, MSF implemented policies to help the needy and so on. And this is our current Minister of Social and Family Development. Also another Christian. Does he look familiar? You might see him at the 9 a.m. service. Ooh. Yeah, I don't think maybe he's too busy on Sunday. Anyway, another Christian. So it's amazing how God placed Christians in a very important ministry for social and family development. And God can even raise young people. Our newest member of parliament, she's a non-nominated parliament member of parliament. Her name is Quick Xiao Ying. Have you heard her speak before? You can Google her name. Wonderful speeches. I even shared it on my Facebook. Really full of passion and compassion. Yeah. So God is raising up people. And some of you may be working for the government. God can use you to pickle the government in that sense. Lastly, is healthcare, science, and technology. This is Olivia Lam. She's the CEO of Hyflux that makes the new water. Yay! They make a membrane to what do you call that, process sewage water to make it more portable for us, to make it drinking water for us. So for our overseas guests, we are drinking our own wastewater. That's how we need it. But it's amazing. She used to be a chemist, and she's a Christian. She's a very devoted Christian. And God used her to invent wonderful things, to innovate, and we have new water. And there's this other company called Delight. D, full stop, light. If you Google them, they're one of the pioneers in making solar lights. And they're a Christian company as well. And they use it, they distribute solar lights to countries that do not have electricity and so on. So God is using people. And God can use you. So I'm going to invite one of our members. His name is Joshua. He's really passionate about healthcare. He's studying to be a doctor. But I asked him to share his story, not because he's going to be a doctor, but he has a heart for the marginalized, especially for migrant workers. So I'm just going to pass the time for him.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Yeah. So I'm Joshua. Other than the fact that I'm studying medicine, actually I serve at the youth ministry as a Connect Group leader, and I serve at the Welcome Ministry also. So you turn around and look at the back, right? Yeah, y'all can join the Welcome Ministry too. But anyway, that's not the point. So, I mean, like many of us, I can't really like spend extended periods abroad, right? And so I think, but there's really a lot of opportunities right here in Singapore. And for me, that is like the migrant worker population. So just to put some perspective on it, right? How many migrant workers do you think live and work amongst us? Okay, Nick Chong, can you give me an estimate of how many migrant workers do you think live and work amongst us? 500,000. Oh, okay, that's very good. Julie? Okay, never mind. I'll save you the trouble. So, okay, sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry, my technology a bit noob. Okay, so, in total, it's about 1.4 million. But if you just talk about the construction workers on work permit, it's about 300,000. And the thing is, you actually don't really see many of them because they actually live in dormitories that are very inaccessible. And, to relate, right, like, there was one time my friend and I, we were supposed to go and do a clinic at a foreign worker dormitory. So, but both of us were late. So, like, shucks. So, she and I, we walked for, like, half an hour to get in. So, like, okay. So, I mean, it's really, really very ulu. Like, you know, Pastor Hardy said, like, Lim Chu Kang, right? Yeah, it's in all those different areas where you don't see HDB estates. So, it can be very easy to forget that they are here amongst us if you don't, like, actively reach out to them. Yeah. So, okay, the second question, and it's the last question, is how much do you think it costs them to visit the polyclinic, assuming that they have time to go to a polyclinic, because polyclinics are not open on Sundays now. Are they? Some are. Okay, but most of the time they can't go. But if they can, right, how much do you think they'll be charged? I mean, I know I pay $10, but what do you think they are charged? Pastor Harley, how much do you think they're charged? That's right on the money, $50. But that's just for consult. Because that's the price that foreigners are charged. But the thing is, even though they are on work permit, they actually don't get, like, cheaper prices, because, I mean, they're considered foreigners, right? And, okay, so how much do you think they are paid, their daily wages are? Crystal? Okay, that's actually quite high. So usually the let's say you come in as a baseline, the baseline is about $18 a day, and that's what we were complaining about, right? I mean, if you're part-time, you're like, oh, $6 an hour already, so cui, right? But $18 is most of what they get. And they always work overtime from, like, you know, they wake up 6 a.m., work until 10 p.m., that kind. So it's really a very different world. And, I mean, just to relate it back, there was one time when I was leaving the hospital at around, like, close to midnight, so I was going to catch the last train. So the corridors of the hospital is, like, deserted, nobody already, right? And then I came across two migrant workers. So one guy was obviously not well. Like, he was very short of breath. So, I mean, they were looking for the emergency. So I was like, wow, even more jialat, because it's on the other side of the hospital. So I brought them there. I was like half hoping that he won't collapse, because I'm not confident that I can resuscitate him. So I handed him over to the A&E, and and then I managed to catch the last train. But that's not the point. What struck me was that, you know, it could have been a very preventable problem. Like, I really don't know what would happen to him. But let's say it was just an acute attack of asthma, right? Like, it could have been prevented. And what stops them from getting all these things treated is the inaccessibility, don't know where to go, too expensive, and no time. So that brings me to, like, what I do, okay? So yeah, everything got linked on. So, but before I do that, right, I will just, like, share a little bit about the biblical basis of why I do what I do, okay? And these, okay, I learned from, like, Pastor Hale, always must three things, right? Three things very easy to remember. So three things. So, y'all can read, I don't need to read everything, right? So, I mean, these kind of things are just to keep in mind, like, why you do what you do. And the second verse speaks to me especially because it says to love, okay, I mean, sojourner is like a chim word, okay, but it says the stranger amongst you. So for them, actually, is the migrant workers are the strangers amongst us. So in the same way that God took us in when we were still strangers, right, then so also we should love the strangers amongst us. Yeah. And okay, so yeah, these three things. Well, are what I remind myself of when like I feel like, wah, sian, I need to go again, I need to study there. Yeah. But I mean, these kind of things remind you of what's important lah, and what matters. Okay, so I just share a little bit more about one of the things that I do lah. So this is actually a community clinic in the basement of a church in Little India. So they charge $5 for like a consult and medication. Okay. So this is like the waiting area lah. It's not very sophisticated like a polyclinic, got like everything, but it works. So usually there's about 20 to 30 workers outside at one time on Sunday afternoons. Yeah, so every Sunday afternoon. And every week there'll be like a team of medical students who will go down and take history, examine, and then bring the worker in as they talk to the doctor. And then when they come out, you talk to them, counsel them about the medications lah. So in a way, it's really just to provide a very accessible and holistic form of healthcare. Because many of them, sometimes they tell us, like, it's been a very long time since someone really spent so much time with me and cared about what problems that I have. Yeah, because usually, like, I mean, like, there's 20 or 30 people, right? But there's only one doctor inside, right? So we really have a lot of time to spend with them and to find out what problems they have. And you are reminded every week of what problems they face, like, I mean, many of them, right, like Singaporeans, right, go polyclinic, right, confirm one MC, right, but they really don't want MC. Like, you ask them to go MC, right, they will not take the MC, and they'll throw it away or something, because they really want to work. And it really strikes you, when, like, some guy comes in with, like, a crush fracture, and he's like, I don't want to go to the A&E because boss will be angry, that kind of thing. So it's a very real problem, and that's why, it burdens my heart, to continue to serve this populace. Yeah. What's next? Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's very short, So, because this is not a sermon, right? Pastor Hardy is still doing the sermon, so it's just very short. So, I mean, for me, there are just a few things that I mean, it's challenging to serve God's people, but I think that if it is important, I mean, we all have time pressures, and we all have 10,000 different things to attend to. But I think, for me, if it is important to God, then it is important to me, and I will block out the time to do what He wants me to do. And so there are just three things that I always find is very useful when it comes to determining where to serve for missions. So it's very simple. It's ABC, you can remember one. Abilities, burden, and circumstances. So abilities is what you're good at, or what talents God has blessed you with. So to practice good stewardship of what God has granted you. And burden is what keeps you awake at night. So what keeps me awake at night, right? This problem. So I serve, right? And then, for the last one is circumstances, just what kind of doors God opens to you. And the last point is really just to, for me, I've learned that it's to obey in the small things so that when God calls you to the big thing, bigger things in life, you are ready to respond. Yeah. And this is just one quote that I always find very encouraging when I think about the work that you do and the sacrifices that you make. Because, like Pastor Hardy said, about the possessions and materialism thing, like, you think about it, what really matters for eternity, and then what you can give up now, like, those things are of infinite more value. So this Jim Elliot, he's a missionary, you can go and read up about him. But he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. So what can you not keep? It's everything that's on earth. So don't chase the wrong things, but to chase the things that truly matter for eternity. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm very fast, right? I keep the timing, right? Okay.
Thank you, Joshua. Yeah, this is my last few slides. I'm ending very soon. So just a recap of our seven spheres. These are our mission field. You don't need to go to the far corners of the world. People, God is bringing people to our doorsteps. Just ask God to open our hearts and open our eyes to see them. The field is white for harvest. And I just want to, this is a quote from Timothy Keller. He says, all Christians have opportunities to serve those who might never come to church or listen to a sermon. All Christians, that's you and me. For me, I'm a church worker. My little field is in this church grounds. Occasionally, I will go to this. We have school ministry, but that's only twice a week. The rest of you, God is putting you in many different spheres. Would you answer that call to share, to tell people about Jesus, to make an impact in your workplace, in your schools, wherever God has placed you? I'm just going to invite the worship team to come forward. We're going to sing our last song. Let's sing Consuming Fire. Asking God to just consume us. I just want to end with this verse. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. And that is our desire, that God, the knowledge of God's glory will cover every aspect of society, starting from our homes, our schools, our workplace, our offices, our communities, wherever God has placed us. All of you are missionaries. All of you are evangelists. So that verse, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Can that be a prayer for the school that I'm studying? Be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. May the workplace, my office, my little department, my industry, my community club, my society, my CCA, my gym be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the water covers the sea. Let's ask God to have that burden. As Joshua shared, we have the abilities. Let's ask God to have that burden, that compassion, that heart. Shall we rise to sing this song?